For our Bible reading, let's look to the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin our reading at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. For our scripture text, let's look again at verse number 18, praying always with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer. Is it upon this verse that I... It is upon this verse of Scripture, praying always with all prayer, that I recalled an instance in the book Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. And you remember there that a Christian goes down into the valley of the shadow. And there, as he begins to withstand the enemy and to fight his foe, it seems that he is losing the fight. It seems like that he is losing the battle. And he reaches and pulls out a weapon that John Bunyan called all prayer. And when he pulled out that weapon, all prayer, he cried with a loud voice and said, "O Lord God, I beseech thee." And when Christian pulled out that weapon, all prayer, and made that plea to God, he was strengthened in the fight, and he got the victory. I could tonight try to preach to you in regard to the whole armor of God, specifically concerning each piece of that armor with which we are to arm ourselves. But I would like to just draw from verse number 18 and speak to you about praying with always, with all prayer. And I want to tell you that prayer is a weapon that the church has. Tragically, in many lives, it is an unused weapon. To many people, it is a weapon of which they do not have the ability, neither the agility, if you will, to wield that weapon called prayer. I remember reading sometime years ago, and I found it again, J. Edgar Hoover, which was many years ago the director of the FBI. He said the spectacle of a nation praying is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb. The force of prayer is greater than any possible combination of man-made or man-controlled powers, because prayer accesses the resources of God. Invoking by prayer the might and the mercy of God, is our greatest ability of guaranteeing peace and security for our land and our nation. Will you agree with me that there's no greater weapon than that weapon called prayer? And one man said, in order to get our nation back upon her feet, we must first get her upon her knees. House of prayer, the way that we're going to turn the tide, the way that we can be reassured of victory, the way we can again know that God will move for His people, if once again we will battle on our knees. I heard a preacher once some years ago say something that has always stayed with me. He said that in wartime, when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, the army much of the time has to move on its belly as it inches forward out of the trenches. He said the army marches on its belly. He said, but the church of the living God, she marches only upon her knees. My friend, if we are to know forward progress, if we are again to know success, the way we're going to win the battle, the way we're going to overcome the enemy, and the way we're going to conquer our foe is only when we know what prayer is again. I want to speak to us tonight, not in a critical way, but to challenge you, to challenge myself, and to challenge this church together. What do you say? Let's make another attack. What do you say? Let's regroup our forces and let's purpose in our heart. It's time for the church to go forth, conquering and to conquer. It's time for the church to win back some ground that we've lost. It's time for the church to go back and retake what the enemy has taken away from us. How can we do it? We'll do it through the might and through the means of that weapon called prayer. Amen. I appreciate you that have a prayer life. And I know that many of you are prayer warriors. You pray in your homes. You pray about your work. And you that have a consistent prayer life, you are the very lifeline of this church. May I say that is where the battle is won or lost. It is within our prayer life. You that do not have a consistent prayer life, you that do not have a morning prayer or a noon prayer or an evening prayer, a time that you set specifically aside to get along with God, may I challenge you to pray. If you want to see this church go and grow, if you want to see the work of God progress, if you want to see renewed success right here within these four walls, do you know the greatest thing you could do for your church is pray? Do you understand the greatest thing you could do for your pastor is pray for your pastor? The thing that would bring more success, the thing that would assure us of more victory than anything else, is if we would pray, if we would draw out that weapon called all prayer, and with a heartfelt plea cry, oh Lord God, I beseech Thee. If we would go to our knees with that type of prayer, if we would fall upon our knees with that kind of prayer, seeking the face of God and crying out to God for victory and calling on the name of the Lord for deliverances, that's what we must do, is again find that weapon of all prayer. The expression used in here in verse number 18 is praying always with all prayer. Hold for a moment upon that expression, all prayer. And by that we understand the variety in the form that prayer will adopt. There is a variety in the form that prayer will adopt. And I say that because I want you to understand that not all prayers are the same. I want you to understand that not every prayer is the same prayer. And he uses these two words here together, all prayer. And the meaning of that all prayer is, it means all kinds of prayer. It means not only all kinds of prayer, but it means all kinds of prayers in all places. Hallelujah. And it means not only all kinds of prayer in all places, but all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? There's times of prayer. There are kinds of prayer. There's places of prayer. And then there's all kinds of things that we pray for. The need of prayer is varied and multiple. The need of prayer is not the same. Your need is not the same as mine. My need differs from that than the other. And so then, because they are different needs, because they are different things, because they are different places, and because they are different kinds, how do we address all of these things? He said, here's the way to do it. Praying always with all prayer. I want to tell you, there's not anything you can't pray about. Great God of heaven. I don't care what your need is. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what the mountain. I don't care what the difficulty. It matters not the circumstance, the situation. It does not matter to God. The thing you can do is just find that weapon of all prayer and make up your mind, I'm going to pray about it. So then that speaks to us of the adaptability of prayer. Prayer is the most adaptable thing in the world. Prayer for every climate. Prayer for every time. Prayer for any area of your life. Prayer to fit the moment. Prayer to fit the hour. I want to speak about two kinds of prayer. And of course, they come very readily to any of your minds. And that, of course, is public prayer. Acts 12, Peter shut up in prison. James has already beheaded Peter. Excuse me, James. And Peter's next. But prayer was made in verse 5. Acts 12, 5. But prayer was made. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. That is what we call public prayer, corporate prayer, congregational prayer. When we have prayer requests, we voice our needs, we voice our petitions, and that's because we have confidence in the prayers of the saints. Very frankly, there's been times I've been so sick. There's been times I've been so low. There's been times that I've just not really had the ability to pray. But I had confidence in the prayers of the church. And I contacted the people of God and I said, I need somebody to touch the Lord for me. Congregational praying. When we pray together, and I like the prayer meeting, and I appreciate you that have been coming to the Thursday prayer. But I know that many of you pray at home. And so whether you pray here or pray at home, God hears us together. Amen. You may be at your house praying. Some may be gathered here praying. But on Thursdays at 7, when we have that prayer hour, when your prayer goes up to God, the God of glory knows that's one of mine from 519 Grimm. And they're joined together in mind and in spirit and in prayer. And they are making their requests known. So the Bible teaches us that we are to have a time of public prayer, a time when the church unites together, a time when the church agrees collectively. Do you know that there is power in unity? Did not our Lord say, if any of two of you shall agree? You see, my friend, there's power when the church gets their heart and their mind together and makes up their mind, we're going to pray until God moves. We're going to pray until heaven hears. We're going to pray until heaven answers. We're going to pray as a church for revival. I appreciate the prayers that went up to God for the past revival, and I cannot help but say, thank God you answered prayer. You sent the church a time of reviving. You sent us some souls upon the altar. You sent us a renewing in the Holy Ghost. I said things happen when the church goes to prayer. I said things happen when the church goes to prayer. There's public praying. But there must always be personal praying. And that's what Jesus speaks of in Matthew 6 and 6 when he said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Here the relationship becomes more intimate. Here the communion becomes more close. It's more than just public praying. It's more than just a unified prayer with the church. It's a personal prayer time. And well spoken, an individual said years ago, No one is content to visit with a loved one always in public. For instance, amen, supposing next week when we go down to the coast and we get there, and as always, sometime or another, we're going to go to Walmart. And I get to Walmart. And if I go more than once, and it may just take once, I'll probably see my mother at Walmart. Because she goes to Walmart every day. Sometimes twice a day. But you know what? When I see my mother there, she's going to reach and she's going to hug my neck. And she's going to say, "Shadley, what are you doing here?" Amen. And we're going to talk just a moment. But then the next thing my mother's going to say, "When are you coming to the house? When are you going to be there? How long before you get to the house?" You see, a loved one is not content just to visit in public. There has to be that private time of communion. There has to be that time of personal visitation. And may I say, friend, many times that's where we fall so woefully short of our communion with God. We have a prayer at the church. We have a prayer, amen, at the house of God. But are we lacking? Are we falling short in that closet time? That time of when we need to get alone with God. I think it was Ronnie Henson that done so well many years ago with a song, "What you need is a quiet walk with God." I think there's nothing that can renew the human heart, nothing that can restore a lagging soul than a person that'll just push everything aside, get everything out of the way, clean out the closet, get in the closet and shut the door behind them and say, "I've got to pray through about some things. I've got to pray until I touch the heart of God." I've been there before, have you? I've been to the place to where I had to just shut the door and pray through. Prayer is the most adaptable thing in the world. Not only the adaptability of prayer, but the availability of prayer. I want you to know that prayer is always available. Prayer is always available. There are two times that I can think of when prayer is available. Prayer is available when I am in danger. Do you understand, House of Prayer, that there are times in your experience and mine that when our soul is in jeopardy and everything's going along just fine? I mean, everything is just beautiful. Sun's a-shining. Everything is going just great. But in Matthew chapter number 14, the disciples were upon the sea in the ship, and a great storm of wind arose. It happened very quickly. It happened so suddenly that the storm came down upon them. And the Bible said that Jesus came unto them walking upon the sea. You know the story of how that Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water to go to Jesus. But the scripture says there in Matthew 14, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.'" Aren't you glad that prayer is always available? When I am in danger, when my soul is in jeopardy, when I do not have time for a long order of prayer, when I do not have time to get on the phone and call somebody, when I do not have time to reach the preacher man, when I do not have time to telephone the prayer warrior, amen, at the house of God, and when I am in danger, I can call upon God, and God will be there. What about it? I've been there, have you? We're just in a moment's time. Only just a few days ago, Sister Kathy and I were uptown, and we were getting off of State Line onto I-30. And you know how that exchange there is, it loops around. And if you're going north on 30 on State Line and you're gonna loop around and go back west on 30, you're sitting there at that exit, that traffic is just coming by you. But if there's someone that's going west on the interstate and they want to get off, that sometimes will cut right in front of you. And there I was trying to watch my mirror, and I seen a great big flatbed truck coming, big old transfer truck, and I thought surely that he would fall in behind me because I had accelerated and I was just fixing to get on the interstate when he gassed it and went around me. There was not time to do anything but just say, "Oh Lord, help us." Amen. I do not know how, but I just know that God heard my cry and he saved us from a near tragedy. That's what I'm talking about. And so as in the spiritual, when your soul is in jeopardy, when it seems like the devil has come upon you unawares, in a moment of time, you can call on Jesus anytime. I said you can call on Jesus anytime, and he'll be there to help you in the time of danger. Prayer is ever available when we are in danger. Prayer is ever available when we are in desire, when we have a need, when we have a petition. In Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus speaks to us some wonderful words that encourage us in our prayer. And in verse 7 of chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" What is prayer, Brother Shad? Prayer is nothing less. Prayer is nothing more than a conversation between a child and their father. You understand, beloved, that Satan does not fear eloquence in prayer. And Satan does not fear large, long prayers. The thing that Satan fears in prayer is sincerity in prayer. Can you say amen? And so what is prayer? Prayer is no more than a child asking of their father bread. Prayer is no more than a child requesting of their father a piece of fish. And because the father loves that child, he's going to do everything within his ability to give that child their desire. And that's what prayer is on my behalf. It is my desire that I petition God with. It is my request that I bring before the Father, and the Father in love, he grants my request and he gives me that I have need of. That's what prayer is. It's the prayer that speaks of that desire unto the Father. I suppose if I let little Ambry, she would chew bubble gum all the time. As a matter of fact, peanut butter has saved her from many a whipping, because peanut butter will get gum out of that beautiful long hair that she's got. But she wants to smack it and chew it and blow it and string it, amen, and play with it. But somehow or another, when it flies back, it wants to get in those yellow locks. And so more times than one, Sister Kathy's had to get the peanut butter out and try to save every precious strand. Don't want to break any of those beautiful locks. Don't want to have to cut it or shorn it. Want it to be long and beautiful, amen. But, you know, try as I might, I know that girl loves that bubble gum. So when I'm at Save-A-Lot, amen, and I pass by that clerk rack right there on the end. They got it where you just can't resist it. There's probably 100 gumballs in those little bags. So because I know that she wants it, every time I go to Save-A-Lot, I find myself coming home with a bag of gumballs. What are you saying? That's the heart of the Father. He knows the desire of the child. Great God of heaven, I want to tell you that I've got a Father in heaven, and He's got bounteous blessings, and He's got a superlative supply. He's got gifts of grace, and He's got loads of love, and He's got everything that I need, and He's got it all stored up in heaven. And every time I need a blessing, He just pours me out a bucket full. Every time I need a touch, every time I need renewing, every time I need strength, I've got a Father in heaven that's got a storehouse. I said He's got a storehouse of blessings, and He daily loadeth me with benefits. Amen. Well, if that was where I could stop, we could leave tonight thinking that perhaps prayer is a very easy thing. But I want to go a little farther and impress upon you that prayer is not an easy thing. And I want you to understand that when we speak of prayer, we speak of the Christian as the soldier. Had I read in other places in Ephesians, I could have preached to you in regard to the Christian as being a servant. But in chapter number 6, we find the Christian as the soldier, which tells me that when it comes to prayer, that prayer is a battlefield, and prayer is a warfare, and prayer is a battle that is being fought in every one of our lives. The words that are indicative of that is watching in verse number 18, and then also perseverance. It tells me that the church is in a battle in regard to her prayer. So secondly, the intensity in the fight where prayer will face assault. I only have to say this. When you go to prayer, does it seem like the devil meets you right there? There'll be every hindrance. There'll be every distraction. Everything to try to deter you from prayer. You're not upon your knees 3 minutes until you realize that the devil does not want you to pray. It becomes intense. It becomes fierce. And you realize the phone will ring. A neighbor will come. There'll be 1,000 things happen. What is that? You're on the front line of the battlefield, and the devil does not want you to pray. Amen. In these verses here, in verses 17 and 18, is offered a perseverance in prayer, and then a presence that meets us in prayer. I want you to hold on that thought for a moment. A perseverance in prayer. You remember 2 Corinthians 10 and 4? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The thing that we must do is persevere in prayer. I don't know much about our world history. I try to remember sometimes a few things because it's so illuminating in regard to the battles that were fought. And there's a book, so I'm told, that is titled The 15 Decisive Battles of World War II. And some of you that were reading the newspaper back then are more familiar with our World War history, you might can remember some of the battles that were fought. And, of course, we remember what we learned in school in regard to D-Day and V-Day and all of those things. But one man said the most decisive battle of the Second War was the battle for the Atlantic. You remember that the United Kingdom, the British Isles, were being bombarded. Hitler with his blitzkrieg was very close upon their heels. He had marched across Europe, and here he comes to the seaboard, and there they're bombing London. But the one thing that kept the United Kingdom alive, the one thing that kept the British Isles intact, was their connection with the United States of America. And what the Germans tried to do with their submarines and tried to do with their assault ships was break that tie with the United States of America. Had the Germans been able to destroy that ammunition supply, had the Germans been able to destroy that man supply, had the Germans been able to cut off that food supply, Hitler would have taken the United Kingdom. But try as they might with their submarines and with their armies and their navy and their air artillery, they could not cut off that connection with the United States of America. What am I saying to us, the Church of God? The devil wants to do all he can to cut our power supply. You see, the only source of help that the United Kingdom had during the Second War was the United States of America. We were the wealthiest and we were the mightiest, and by the grace of God, we still are. Amen. Thank God for the good old USA. But if the Germans had cut that power supply, Hitler would have took London. But thanks be unto God, the power supply remained intact. And may I say to us, the church, the only way the devil can defeat us, if he cuts that upon their knees. What are the things that try to cut our power supply? I've already mentioned distractions. And oh, there are many. There are many. Discouragements. I faced them. You have likewise. What good is it to pray? Why try to pray any more? Very frankly, I've become discouraged in my prayer life before. Have you? And I've wondered if my prayers were being heard. I've wondered if my prayers were getting through. Am I the only one that's honest tonight? Or have you felt that same way too? Discouragement tries to cut that power supply. But just as certain as we must show perseverance in our prayers, there is a presence that meets us when we pray. I'm in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26. And the Lord blessed me to see this verse of Scripture recently, and it has just been a source of help and strength to me. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26. Now, in Ephesians 6 and verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and those next three verses is what ministered to me in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And then Romans 8 and 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's that presence that meets us in prayer. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Glory to God. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I recall that one saint one time said, the greatest prayers sometimes are not prayed in words, but rather in groans. Hallelujah. Brother James, there's been times when I was praying, I really knew in myself I was really not doing much praying. I was really not doing much praying. But as I prayed on, even though I didn't feel like praying, and I really didn't feel like I was getting much praying done, I just kept right on praying until I began to pray in the Spirit. It may have been a prayer in words. It may have been prayers in groans. It may have been prayers in tongues. But nevertheless, that paraclete, nevertheless, that comforter, nevertheless, that presence of the good Holy Ghost that helpeth our infirmities, He come right in there where I was, and He began to help me to pray. I want to try to encourage somebody here tonight. Amen. The Lord impressed on my heart. I'm not the only one that's been battling oppression and intensity in my prayer. But I've learned this: if I'll keep on a praying, after a while the Holy Ghost will come and He'll help me pray. And that's what I want to assure you of tonight. If you'll just keep on a praying, and then if you'll just lay there, if you'll just kneel there, if you'll just wait there on the Lord, after a while the Spirit will come, the presence of the Holy Ghost will come, and He'll help you pray. If I can, I want to say it this way. There are three realms of prayer. There are three realms of prayer. What are they? I've already showed you one. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. The first realm of prayer is that hidden place. And before you can ever get to those other realms of prayer, you have to go by the entrance. You have to go by the door. And that first realm of prayer is that hidden place, that quiet place. Jesus went to a place where was a garden. And He prayed. And He prayed as a child would pray to his father. And He said, Father, great God. And His disciples come to Him and said, John's disciples, they're learning how to pray. John's taught them to pray. And they said, Lord, we want You to teach us to pray. And He said, when you pray, pray on this wise: Our Father, which art in heaven. Great God. Amen. My daddy flew from Tulsa to Knoxville yesterday. And so Brother Randy Webb come picked him up. And I guess about this time, my dad's preaching in Richlands, Virginia tonight. I got a father in Richlands, Virginia. But when I got a need, when I got a sickness, when I need a miracle, when I need help, I get down and say, Father, which is in heaven. I got a father in heaven. Amen. That's the first realm of prayer, is that hidden place. But the second realm of prayer is we move to that heavenly place. But in that heavenly place is where two things exist. There are first battles, and then ultimately there are blessings. And the reason I say there are battles in that heavenly place is because, as I pointed out to you in Ephesians 6:12, amen, for we wrestle not against principalities, against flesh and blood. But we wrestle what? Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against spirits and rulers of darkness in this world. Amen. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. So in the heavenly realm, there are two forces at work. There are evil forces and they are good forces. Everybody still with me? When I reach that heavenly realm and I begin to pray, I realize that things happen and I am under attack, and the devil begins to make his intense assault against my prayer to try to thwart my prayer life and to keep me from praying. Thoughts is the distractions that the devil uses. And one preacher said it so well, and I'll borrow this from him. He said, in his prayer life, he said, I am distracted by thoughts. And those thoughts is what the devil uses to keep me from going higher. Everybody with me? He said, one thing that the devil uses is wandering thoughts. I don't know about you, but I can get down to pray, and if I'm not real careful, if I am not vocal, if I am not verbal, if I am not audible in my prayer, by keeping a train of thought, by keeping a continual conversation going, my thoughts can wander. Amen. My thoughts can get away. For instance, we'll just make a scenario. As I pray, I say, and Lord, bless Aunt Susie. And then I stop and think about Aunt Susie. Amen. And my mind is on a trail and I'm wandering off. Aunt Susie's got a cat. And a cat will chase a rat. And I've got a rat. And I need to go get a trap. And the hardware store sells traps. And beside the hardware store is the camera store. And I've got some film I need to take to the camera store to get developed. Because I took pictures when I was on my last vacation. And before I know it, I'm gone from my prayer room. And I'm somewhere in Honolulu. Will you say amen? My thoughts are, praise God, Brother Bob, Sister Betty, just come out that way. Amen. You see what I'm saying? We just get to wandering off. And before we know it, we've left God. And we've left the prayer. And our thoughts have carried us away from God. Wandering thoughts. And then, that sneaking old devil, if he can't use wandering thoughts, John Phillips offered and said, he'll use wicked thoughts, unsolicited thoughts, things that you have attempted to put out of your mind, things that you have prayed over and purposed never to think or meditate on again. Wicked thoughts come in your mind. I've told this before, but this is fit right in. When I was a 14-year-old boy, I worked on a... Did I ever tell y'all I worked on a shrimp boat? Y'all remember that? There was a TV on that boat. And the captain had instructions from my dad. I don't want Shadley watching that TV. But now I was a 14-year-old boy, and I was going to do about like any other 14-year-old boy. And man, I found myself in front of that television. Captain had... went to sleep, and it was the watch for the first mate to watch the wheel. Along about 3 o'clock one morning, as a horror flick come on that TV. And I'm not going to tell you what it's about, because you'll be thinking about that instead of what I'm preaching. But you know, that's been over 20 years ago. And sometimes at the most crazy moment, like right now, I'll think about that silly movie that I just can't ever get erased out of my mind. Huh? Thoughts that you never would have thought of any other time, except when you're trying to get in the Spirit, they've come to you. Wandering thoughts. Wicked thoughts. Worldly thoughts. Things that may not be evil in themselves, but just the cares of this life. Got to go to work in the morning. Got to get gas on the way to work. Huh? Got to stop by the grocery store on the way home. Just the thoughts of this world. Cares of life. And before we know it, the devil's done distracted our prayer life. But I got good news for you. Great God in heaven. If I keep on praying in my hidden place, and I keep on crying out to God, I get up into those heavenly places, and I battle through until I get those blessings. And it's then that I get into that holy place. Amen. We call that, when I was at home, praying through. Amen. I can remember my mother in the front room of the house with all the distractions of 5 kids. But she had her prayer time. And she stayed there
until she got to that holy place. Great God of heaven. Amen. As the Scripture here says in Romans 8 and 26, as the Scripture here says in Ephesians 6 and 18, she prayed till she got in the Spirit. Amen. I've been there just once or twice in my life. I've been there to where I got caught up and I got caught away, and the Holy Ghost come and ushered me into another world, and the veil was rent and the door was open, and I knew I was in the throne room. I knew that I was in the presence of God. I knew that I had left this world behind. I'd done ascended, amen, to heaven on high. I was in the third heaven. I said I was in the holy place.
Great God of heaven. Sometimes it seems like the devil will do anything and all he can to keep us from getting there. And it's because he don't want you to pray through. You remember the old song? I haven't heard it since I was a wee boy. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. That's why I pray. That's why I encourage you to pray. I want us to get to that place near to the heart of God. When you get near to the heart of God, the things that you love will be the things that God loves. Did you ever hear Brother Lindsey Savage speak about prayer years ago? And he got Ricky, his grandson, to stand about 20 feet from him. And Brother Lindsey Savage said, "Ricky, can you hear my heartbeat?" "No, Papa, I can't hear your heartbeat." And Brother Lindsey Savage preached on a while longer. He said, come closer, Ricky." He got him about 10 feet away. "Can you hear my heartbeat?" "No, Papa." 5 feet away, right beside him, until finally Ricky laid his head on his Papa's chest. And he said, "Ricky, can you hear my heartbeat?" He said, "Yeah, Papa, I can hear your heartbeat." That's what happens when we get in that holy place. We then hear the heartbeat of God. Church, that's what we need to hear again. 1,000 doubts would be erased. 1,000 questions would be answered if we could just pray through to that holy place and hear the heartbeat of God again. Give the Lord a praise. In closing, let me say that there is two things that Paul says that I think addresses our obligation to prayer. And that's what I call the responsibility in the field that prayer will accept. For you see, there's a large field of prayer. There's a large area of prayer. But the two things that Paul said is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. For all saints. How extensive. All saints? That's a lot of praying. All saints? For all things? For all kinds of prayer? For all things of prayer? For all times of prayer? For all the needs? All? Frankly, friend, if everybody and everything is going to be prayed for,
we're going to have a whole lot of people praying.
However, I do not think that the writer is insisting that each of us individually pray for all things. I do not think that the writer is insisting that each of us individually prays for everybody. Because literally, there's no way one person can pray for everybody and everything. So, it's not that a few should pray for a lot, but rather a lot pray for a few. Each of one of you have your own circle of life. Each one of you have your own circle of needs and your own circle of interest. If a lot of us would just pray for a few. But tragically, we've got just a few trying to pray for a lot. And because we don't have enough people praying, we're not getting all our praying done. There's no way I can pray for every need. There's no way you can pray for every need. Well, then how are we going to know what needs praying for and what not to pray for? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. If you'll pray, the Lord will let you know what to pray for. Amen. The church today, as a whole, will do anything but pray. And as I said when I started, this is not to criticize. This is only to challenge us. And it all boils down to this. You know if you pray or not. I'm not your judge. I don't run your business. I don't live in your house. I don't walk in your shoes. I don't wear your clothes. No. You know your own life. You know what you're doing and you know what you're not doing. And you know if you're not praying. Corporate prayer is important. Congregational prayer is important. And I appreciate it. But my friend, what I want to know is, are you praying at home? Do you have a prayer life? Paul said, pray for all saints. And then he said, pray for me. He said, pray for me. House prayer. I got a prayer request. Pray for your preacher. If you knew how desperate, how sincere I am in that request, you'd pray for me. Because I realize my frailty. I realize how human I really am. I don't want to be a preacher without prayer. There's been some of you, and you know who you are, and some of you, amen, you went through some things that you've shared with your pastor, and some of you perhaps have went through some things and you've not shared with your pastor, but for you that have confided in your pastor, I'm thankful for the times when you and I could look eye to eye and we knew we prayed it through. Amen. When I could look at you and say, I've been praying for you. Church, God has reassured my heart that if we will get back on our prayer bones, we are yet to see what God will do for His people right here at this church. Amen. Great God. speaking in regard to the history of the Second War, one gentleman said that the tide turned for the Allied forces when the Allied forces gained superiority in the air. They had been flagging and lagging behind on the ground forces. They were short of ammunition and they were short of supply. But when they gained superiority in the air, it was then that the Allied forces found success on the ground. My friend, it's no different for we, the church, right here and now. When once again we regain power in the heavens, when once again we as the church of the living God regain power in the heavens, when once again the church prays through until she has power with God, then she will have power with man. For Jesus said in Matthew 16 unto Peter, He said, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When the church gets air superiority, when the church prays through again, I said, then the church will know success on the ground. Then the church will see revival again. Stand with me all over the house. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Brother Hank, you and Brother Cliff come and make ready for an altar. I think if all of us would just take a careful moment to look at our lives, review over, are there marked failures? Has there been moments of carnality? Has there been times when you yielded to the flesh? Has there been times that you've been overcome with passion? Was it not in that hour when you were weak in prayer? Amen. But at those times when you had that prayer life, at those times when you knew what it was to daily pray through, it was then that God was working in your life. It was then that God was answering prayer. It was then that God was moving, when we had that weapon of all prayer. I've never known of a person to backslide on their knees. Never. I've never seen a person backslide while they were praying. But I've seen a many of them get cold and careless and lose their prayer life. And soon they were out. And soon they were gone. House of prayer, let's check up tonight. Let's pray, let's purpose to pray, and let's make up our mind. Nothing or nobody is going to keep me from that closet. Because if I don't get to that hidden place, I'll never get to that heavenly place, and I'll never find that holy place where I can hear the heartbeat of God. Let's come pray all over the house.